This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. As we mentioned, the House of Representatives votes today on a controversial bill to increase federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. The Castle-DeGette bill would provide money for research that uses surplus embryos from fertility clinics. President Bush has said that involves the killing of potential human life and has vowed to veto the legislation if it reaches his desk. The president made another statement on embryo and stem cell embryos just a few minutes ago. Here he is making his arguments from the White House.
Today, the House of Representatives is considering a bill that violates the clear standard I set 4 years ago. This bill would take us across a critical ethical line by creating new incentives for the ongoing destruction of emerging human life. Crossing this line would be a great mistake. Even now, researchers are exploring alternative sources of stem cells, such as adult bone marrow and umbilical cord blood, as well as different ethical ways of getting the same kind of cells now taken from embryos without violating human life or dignity. With the right policies and the right techniques, we can pursue scientific progress while still fulfilling our moral duties.
President Bush speaking a few minutes ago at the White House. The voices you heard in the background were those of babies who were born from surplus embryos from fertility clinics, adopted, if you will. They present an emotional side of this argument. The Republican leadership in the House agrees with President Bush. Most Democrats and many Republicans look instead at the potential benefits of embryonic stem cell research. Earlier today, the House heard statements from Majority Leader Tom DeLay and from one of the sponsors of the legislation, Republican Mike Castle.
Proponents of the Castle bill, try as they might to find wiggle room, will vote to fund with taxpayer dollars the dismemberment of living, distinct human beings for the purposes of medical experimentation.
This is not the time to allow bad science or ideology to get in the way of doing what is right for the people of this country and of the world. There are 110 million people in the United States of America who potentially could be helped by embryonic stem cell research.
Embryonic stem cell research falls in the middle of a complicated tangle of bioethics, religious and moral beliefs, business concerns, and scientific progress. The issue cuts across partisan lines. The battle in the House today is primarily among Republicans, though there are Democrats on both sides as well. How does your political orientation align with your position on embryonic stem cell research? We'd like to hear from those of you who consider yourself politically conservative but support the research. Alternatively, if you're politically liberal and oppose it. The number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now to help explain some of the science and the politics and the background of this issue is NPR correspondent Joe Palca with us here in Studio 3A. Joe, always good to have you on the program.
Hi, Neil.
Why are we seeing so many Republicans willing to break ranks with their leadership on this issue and with their president?
Well, it's an interesting question, and it's one of those things where this seems to cut across partisan party lines in the sense that people accept the arguments that scientists have been making, that these embryonic stem cells hold the potential, and everybody agrees that it's just a potential. Nobody's ever been treated or cured of anything using an embryonic stem cell, but they seem to hold the potential for great things in medicine. Clearly, some people in the Republican Party think that. And clearly, some people also feel or don't agree with the president that the embryos that are stored in fertility clinics, which is what we're talking about here, are the children that the president and some people like to call them. They feel instead that they may be potential children. Now, it may seem like splitting hairs, but really it's a big distinction for some people. The embryos that are created as part of the fertility process when infertile couples go to have a baby with assisted reproductive technology, those are created in a petri dish. And unless you put those into a woman's uterus, nothing's going to happen to them. They can't grow into a baby. They cannot. I mean, at least not with the technology that currently exists on this planet. And so people feel, well, if they never get implanted into a woman, they're never really a child. Now, this keeps ethicists and religious people up late at night trying to think through the arguments. But that's really what some people who feel abortion is immoral mm-hmm. don't feel that the destruction of a human embryo is immoral when it's in a laboratory. Now, of course, it happens all the time, and it's not illegal. I mean, couples are, after they have the children that they've wanted from a fertility clinic, there's nothing to say they can't just toss those out if that's their choice, and nobody accuses them of murder. So that's the law in this country. There's no, it's not illegal. So there's a lot of ambiguities and uncertainties, and that's why it gets complicated.
Now, there is a second stem cell bill that's also in play with all of this. It's the Smith-Davis bill. The Republican leadership has offered this as an alternative. What is that bill about?
Well, that bill says, look, let's understand the difference between stem cells that you derive from human embryos and other kinds of stem cells. And there are the difference being that embryonic stem cells, as the name implies, come from embryos, but so-called adult stem cells come from cells that have already begun to function in an adult human being. Mm-hmm. And we all know, I think most of us know about adult stem cells, for example, in bone marrow transplants. What you're doing is taking stem cells, in this case blood stem cells. These are cells that are primarily designed to become blood cells, and you're saying let's use those to treat blood-related diseases. Now it gets complicated again here because people say with adult stem cell research, look, who says that these blood stem cells can only turn into blood? Maybe they have the same property that people have been touting of embryonic stem cells, namely that they can turn into any cell type in the body. And there is some research that shows that blood stem cells could also form other cell types. It's, again, you know, it's funny in a way to see these members of Congress, legislators by training, and occasionally physicians as well, getting up and having these really subtle scientific arguments on the floor of the Congress because it's tough, and people argue about them in scientific meetings. It's just funny to hear the same arguments being tossed around in this, you know, deliberative chamber like the House of Representatives.
The House of Representatives is currently debating the issue.
That's
right. And we're hoping to hear with from people on both sides of this issue a little bit later in the program, but of course, we also want to hear from you. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, TOTN@NPR.org. And let's begin with Dave. And Dave's with us from South Bend, Indiana.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Very well, thanks.
Good. Yeah, I'm politically liberal. I'm on the left. I, you know, would hate to agree with anything that President Bush has to say, but I do have to agree on this issue that as a Catholic, I have to, you know, uphold the dignity of human life, and even, you know, as far back as we can trace it, you know, to the spark of human life, to the embryo. So, you know, I think that the idea that science has the capacity to do great things, I think we have to be patient and wait and see what kind of progress we can make by looking at umbilical cord blood and you know, adult bone marrow and things like that. I don't think this is something we can be in a hurry about.
Do you look at the other side of the argument, though, that maybe research on embryonic stem cells could save people's lives?
No, I agree, but I think that if we're in too much of a rush, that, you know, we throw the, you know, I hate, this is an awful, you know, pun, I don't mean any pun by this, but we risk throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You know, if we rush into this, you know, who knows what down the road we could find a more ethical way of dealing with this. So I'm not convinced I haven't read anything where there's been, you know, overnight some sort of, you know, miracle, you know, in which people have been saved, you know, right now. It's not as though, you know, thousands and thousands of people are surviving as a result of it.
Joe Palca, right. he's right on that. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you've hit on the question is the potential worth the moral ambiguity? And clearly, for some people, it is not. I think the question goes, you know, is that something that that should be the law of the land? I mean, in one sense, you could argue that the president isn't asking that embryonic stem cell be banned outright. He's simply saying, I don't want it done with federal money. Which is an interesting point. I mean, some countries say that instead of you know, just limiting it to a policy for federal monies, maybe we should set a policy for all use of embryonic stem cells, which isn't being proposed right now in this country.
Dave, thanks. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I mean, I think that I'm glad that I don't have to make this kind of decision, of course, you know, yeah. But and I'm very, you know, sympathetic, and my heart goes out to everyone who might be suffering. But I think that this is something that, you know, slow and steady is going to win the race on this one. So.
Thanks very much for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Now, other countries, though, Joe, are working on this technology, on this research. I think just last week, wasn't it, South Korea issued an announcement about significant progress.
Right. And we have to be a little clear. It's a slightly different issue than what the House is debating today. The House is debating whether or not to allow spare embryos from fertility clinics to be used for the derivation of embryonic stem cells. What the Koreans did was something completely different and perhaps more politically volatile. They created embryos, not in the normal way, using egg and sperm as you would in a fertility clinic, but by using the technique that we've come to call cloning, which is they took an adult cell from an adult human being and put that into a human egg from which the nucleus had been removed. Then they coax that new thing, which has got an adult cell nucleus and an embryo and an egg cell, to start growing as if it were an embryo. And when it reached the same ball-like stage, which is known as a blastocyst, they derived embryonic stem cells from that. Now, they say that's as far as they're going to go. And there are certain reasons that you want to do that scientifically. But that's, well, first of all, it's a remarkable piece of work. It's the first step in cloning a human being, but once again, it doesn't become a human being until you take it and implant it into a woman's uterus. At least it won't become one, whatever you think of its moral status. But the Koreans say we're interested. We're so convinced that stem cell research is valuable, we think it's worth creating embryos this way. And these especially created embryos were taken from patients, in some cases, who could actually benefit theoretically from embryonic stem cell therapy. So they're trying to take it to the next level. And other countries, I mean, Singapore has gotten very involved in this. England is another country that's embraced this research and has also tried cloning human embryos for the purpose of making stem cells, not for making babies.
Here's an email we got from Charles Wallace in Benton, Arkansas. I have a healthy, happy 18-month-old son. He has a social security number, a college fund, and will someday have a career, wife, kids, etc. He was frozen as an embryo and remained in a lab for 2 years before being donated to my wife and I. If more people understood the real potential for these embryos being transferred into a womb and becoming babies, I think there would be more resistance to destroying them. We're talking about the issue of embryonic stem cell research. It's being debated as we speak in the House of Representatives, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get another caller on the line, and this is Anna. Anna's with us from Chico, California. Anna?
Hi.
Hi.
A couple of years ago, I fell out of a tree, and I broke my back. So I can't walk. I can't feel my toes. I, you know, have to urinate with a tube. And it is inconceivable to me that anyone who could know someone who'd had a spinal cord injury, because, of course, I'm biased towards that in terms of stem cell research, could possibly be disinterested in looking into the possibility of doing this. I mean, there are people who breathe through tubes and eat through tubes because their necks are broken, and any possibility that they could regain a semblance of human life and dignity is remarkable.
Anna, how does this accord with your politics?
Interestingly, I was raised very Christian, very anti-abortion, and I even broke my back on a Christian kind of ministry trip. And it's definitely been difficult for my family and I to think about, but the more research we've done, the more we've been convinced that these are a couple of little cells. I can't even imagine how many of those little embryos at fertility clinics, they're not going to be used. Abortion clinics throw out little embryos every day. It's amazing to me that people wouldn't use this.
Anna, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Dana Reeve, the widow of Christopher Reeve, has been a big advocate of this.
Right. I think, I mean, this is that call, and actually the previous one are the poles of the debate in some ways. You are talking about an embryo that has a potential to become a human life, and if it turns into a human life, it's not just a ball of cells to you. It's your sister if it's still frozen in a clinic someplace, or your brother. On the other hand, if it never turns into a life, it's a potential cure. At least scientists are now. It's impossible to say, and this is where it's a very tricky place. Scientists say we see potential here. There is not a responsible scientist in the world that I've ever talked to that says, you let us work on these and we'll have a cure for you in X number of years. They're saying we see potential. Now, as the first caller indicated, how far do you want to go based on the potential? I think if you're in a wheelchair, or if you're unable to walk, and you see anything, any shred of hope, any glimmer that's going to improve your life, you're going to say my hopes go in that direction. How do you deny that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very powerful. The argument says the president had all these babies at the White House today, mm-hmm. who had been born with frozen embryos, and there's another press conference from the supporters of embryonic stem cell research with people with terrible diseases who may be helped from embryonic stem cells.
It's not just spinal cord injuries. There's potential. Again, potential is the word.
Right.
But for progress on Alzheimer's disease, and Nancy Reagan
has
been
Alzheimer's is probably the furthest one away, unfortunately. But Parkinson's, where a specific cell type is destroyed, or diabetes, again, where a specific cell is destroyed, or in some cases, these spinal cord injuries, where specific neurons are destroyed, and you might be able to grow those back, or, you name it. Now, again, it goes around and around. The people who favor adult stem cell research say, let's see how far we can go with blood stem cells. Let's see about these cord stem cells, these blood stem cells we can derive from cord blood. Maybe we can use those. Maybe that's where we should start. Why do you want to jump into this political, this ethical morass now when you haven't explored all the possibilities with the adult stem cells? The people on the other side say, why close any door? If we see possibilities, we should go for it.
NPR correspondent Joe Palca. When we come back from a break, we hope to hear from members of the House of Representatives on both sides of this issue. We'd also like to hear more from you. Where do you weigh in on the various ethical, political, religious, and moral issues? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. Back after the break, it's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Right now, we're discussing the politics and ethics at play in the debate over the federal funding of stem cell research. For more on this issue, join Ira Flatow on Friday for a Science Friday conversation with Leon Kass, the chair of the President's Council on Bioethics. With us here in Studio 3A is NPR's Joe Palca, and we're still awaiting calls from congressmen. They're still on the floor of the House of Representatives debating this issue. We're hoping they can come off and join us for the conversation. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is totn@npr.org. And let's go to Mike. Mike's with us from Arnold, Missouri.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
I'm kind of not laughing at this discussion, but it's really absurd that we're spending so much time denying something that the world can already do, and that is already really passe and really only interesting for helping us fix problems, not create humans. The real ethical issue for the future is our virtual future, and that's coming at nobody's paying any attention to the rapid increase in technology that is going to obviate a lot of our biological systems. The real ethics is, who are we going to be? Not, can we play with these stem cells and make another human, which is really, we've already done that. It's unimportant.
Well, a lot of people in Congress disagree, Mike.
Well, they do, because it's so easy. It's such an easy topic to argue about but my point is, just from a philosophical point, is we need to take care of what is really important is, and that's the virtual future that's coming on that nobody's paying attention to. While we're, worrying about silly things that we're like tilting at windmills here.
Mike, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. Bye-bye. Let's go now to Richard. Richard's with us from Norton Shore, Michigan.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Gentlemen, I'd like to say that the gentleman that called in that said he was Catholic and referred to the beginning of life as a spark, well, that's a Catholic theory. Catholicism grew out of Judaism, and in Judaism, we don't name a child until that child is 10 days old. Then we consider that child a child. And I'm all for stem cell research. I think it's needed. There are so many areas out there that has to be taken care of. And I think it's wonderful if we could get this passed. And I believe the president is totally, totally wrong in his opposition on this.
Well, just weighing in for the Catholics, their doctrine derives from things as from Judaism, is of course, but from other things as well. So that's probably where that idea came from. But Richard, how does this accord with your views politically?
With my views politically, I'm an independent, and I would say I'm conservative. But I also have to look at the total scheme on where can this be the best? What can this research do for, as this young lady that called in that broke her neck, and Alzheimer's, and all these other diseases, if there's a possibility that through this research they can be cured, then I'm saying, wonderful, do it. It's really, really needed.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Joe, as we look at this, now the president did, and as he mentioned, we played that clip earlier of his statement from the White House earlier this afternoon. He said, look, I issued a statement on this. That was, remember, that long summer of soul-searching. He finally made a statement, I believe, in August of 2001 on this issue. There are existing stem cell lines, embryonic stem cell lines.
That's right.
He said, look, what's done is done. We can continue research on those. No more after that.
Right.
Are those lines inadequate?
Well, the scientists who work on this topic say they are. There were supposed to be originally 60 or so, but in the end, when they actually looked to see which ones survived in the lab and were capable of being proven to be embryonic stem cells, it turned out that that was more, the number was closer to 24. I think that the scientists I've talked to say, well, there's a couple of things. There's a technical problem, and that is that a lot of these cells were grown in the presence of mouse cells, and that would make them difficult to be used in human beings if they were ever to be used for therapy. But leaving aside the technical problems, I think that people would argue that when people started studying embryonic stem cells in mice, the cells, they wound up having to derive a lot of them from a lot of different mouse embryos before they found ones that had qualities, properties that made them good to grow in the lab. And for reasons that are complicated and not well at all understood, some are better to turn into nerve cells and some are better turned to bone cells. And so they found that they had to derive a lot of lines before they found the lines that seemed to work the way they wanted them to, the way they could use them most effectively. And so I think that the issue is that there's enough to do some research, but, you know, scientists say, ooh, if we could only, and they see the next hurdle, and because they don't, a lot of them don't see this as an ethical issue, that they feel frustrated that they're being held up at a potential. For example, I mean, one of the issues is people would like to derive stem cell lines from patients that have a particular disease, so that they could study the disease process from the very beginning. And so what some labs have done is people go for in vitro fertilization, and they can actually test an individual cell in the early embryo and say, well, that one's got the disease. We're not going to implant that because it would be a child with affected of a terrible disease. But maybe we can let this embryo grow until we can get stem cells. And all of a sudden you're saying we now have in the laboratory a growing line of cells that was derived from a disease state that we can study. You know, that wouldn't be permitted under the president's line, because the life and death decision, you know, had these don't fall under that August 9th, 2001 deadline.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Randall. Randall's with us from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's a moral issue. It's a catch-22 situation. But I believe that with as much time as we spend trying to keep people alive and healthy, and then yet we're so apt to, when they're ill and they're dying and they're coding a person, they're so quick to, you know, end that life when life is over. I believe that these are cells that are living and that if they are not yet a human embryo, but I do respect life. And so what I'm trying to just say is just to catch 22. It's a moral issue.
Yeah. There's actually, you remind me of an issue that's come up actually, and the president in his statement just a few minutes ago reiterated this, where he said maybe there's a way we can derive embryonic stem cells without destroying an embryo. So here's how the scenario goes. Maybe it's possible for someone to take a skin cell from you or me and doing the same thing that that happens in an egg, that gets these cells, like in cloning, to turn back the clock so that they think they're embryonic cells. Maybe you could take these skin cells and trick them into thinking they were embryonic cells and then grow them far enough to, so you wouldn't be destroying an embryo, you'd be destroying a skin cell, if you want to think of it that way. But I always thought that, well, that makes an interesting problem, because if you're able to make an early embryo from a skin cell, well, doesn't that then become an early embryo that you could implant in a woman's uterus and have a baby? So you're back to the same spot, only now you can't shave without killing a potential life, because every time you shave, you scrape off a few skin cells, which could in some future world be turned into an embryo. Complicated stuff.
I agree. Yeah.
You're here to answer questions, Joe,
no,
not to raise
sorry.
Them. Thank you.
Excuse me.
Randall, thanks very much for the call.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Let's go now to Capitol Hill. Joining us is Dr. Joe Schwartz, a Republican congressman from Michigan. He's a supporter of the Castle DeGette bill, and he's with us by phone from Capitol Hill. Thanks for stepping outside the debate to speak with us.
Oh, thanks very much. Nice to be with you. The debate goes on as we speak.
What's the situation for the bill right now?
Well, I believe the bill will pass. I think there are at least 218 votes, which is adequate for passage. What there are more than that number, it's difficult for me to say.
Well, the question, I guess the big question in the future, if this similar bill gets passed by the Senate and it gets vetoed by the president, are there going to be enough votes to override a veto?
Good question, and your guess is as good as my own.
How did you form your opinion on embryonic stem cell research?
I believe that it is the future as far as what we look at as therapies for disease, whether it's neuronal stem cells for spinal cord injuries or dopamine secreting cells for people with Parkinson's or myocardial cells for people with cardiac disease. It's the future of disease along with gene therapy, and to deny that, to say we're not going to do that sort of research in the United States is foolish, because the rest of the world is, and the rest of the world, unfortunately, is ahead of us.
You are pro-life, oppose abortion under all but very specific circumstances. Many in the anti-abortion community oppose stem cell research for the same reasons they say they oppose abortion. Why did you decide differently?
Well, it wasn't all that difficult to do, and I truly believe that is there any doubt in anybody's mind that the potential of relieving widespread suffering with stem cells is morally superior to simply destroying them? I mean, how can we call ourselves a culture of life when we discount the living people who need our help right now, and we discount the potential of these embryonic stem cells? If we discount that potential, I think that is not pro-life. It is far from it. And I look at this in many ways as very similar to organ donation. It is certainly analogous, though not quite the same thing. But it serves the same purpose, and that is to cure people with disease who have problems that hopefully we will be able to take care of when, in fact, the stem cell research reaches fruition, which I would think would be in 10 to 15 years.
We're talking with Congressman Joe Schwartz. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Congressman, your position is at variance with that of your president and the party leadership there in the House of Representatives. As we mentioned earlier, there are several conservative activist groups who are also opposed to your issue. Do you feel political repercussions from your stance?
No, I don't at all. And in fact, this debate, which is going on apace right now, has been a very productive debate. There has been no vindictive, no vindictiveness, no spleen, no finger pointing, no raising of voices. Just people trying in their best way they can to make an expository statement about their position on this issue. And my position happens to be in favor of this bill. And I don't expect there to be any political repercussions.
There is, as you know, also an alternative that would increase funding for umbilical cord stem cells.
The salient point there is it's not an alternative. It's an adjuvant. It is not an alternative. The umbilical cord stem cells are good, but they're good. They produce a hematopoietic line, blood cells only. And then we have somatic stem cells as well, the adult stem cells, which are what we use now for things like bone marrow transplants.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, and I intend to support both bills. But it is not an alternative. It's not either or. If we're going to be cutting edge, if we're going to be where we need to be in this country, if we're going to allow our excellent universities and research labs to do what they do to help people in this country, it will be both and should be both.
I wonder, just before we let you go and get back to the debate, you're describing the House of Representatives, people talking about their consciences, their reflections on an important issue. Why on this issue and not on so many others, do you think?
Again, a good question, but I would say this is the most serious, thoughtful debate I've seen in my short time in the House. I've seen some that wasn't serious and one wasn't thoughtful, but this is serious, thoughtful debate by people who are sincere in their positions and want to let other members know what those positions are.
Dr. Schwartz, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks very kindly.
Dr. Joe Schwartz, a Republican congressman from Michigan, and he joined us by phone from Capitol Hill. We had hoped to also hear from Congressman Bart Stupak, a Democrat from Michigan, who's opposed to this legislation. It does not look like he's going to be able to get off the floor in time to join us for this program. In the meantime, I think we have time for maybe one more call on this issue. Let's talk with Joe. Joe's calling from Lansing, Michigan.
Yeah, hey, Neil, great show. One thing that seems to be missing from the debate is the advice and consent portion of it. My daughter was born with in vitro fertilization, mm-hmm. and my wife and I actually, it was a 12-page form that we had to sign and initial, and actually it basically was a legal document as to what we were going to do with what was left over after we had our daughter. So, you know, I think people are sometimes forgetting, where are these embryos coming from? They're coming from people like me that either say yes or no. And if I choose to say yes, as far as research, as far as, then it should be up to us and not to senators. Whether it should be a national referendum or a state-by-state referendum, I don't know. But I don't think people in Congress should be deciding this issue without our input a little bit more.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
You bet.
And here's an email we got from Carrie Mossberg, in Edina, Minnesota. I'm the lucky recipient of stem cells in my right hip 2 years ago. They grow into a new tight lining of the socket, improve things for me to the point that I have no pain on that side, and even lived a lifelong dream of taking ice skating lessons at age 45. To me, my family and friends, this is every bit a miracle and a new life for me. My politics and religious views are liberal. I worry that this is another area where the U.S. will lose ground in the global economy because of the spiritual views of one particular group who think their worldview should be imposed on everyone. Well, I'm not sure that that's what's happening in the House of Representatives today, Joe Palca, but it does look as if Congressman Schwartz is right, this legislation is going to pass.
Yeah, it seems like it is likely, and clearly it's an interesting spectrum here, and there are people that you would normally, I mean, Joe Barton, who stood up and said, I've voted with the pro-life, I'm 100%, I missed one vote according to their tally, and yet I'm going to have two votes after today because I'm voting in favor of this Castle to Get bill to expand the use of embryonic stem cells. Clearly, it's one of these issues that, at least politically, seems to cut very close to home, and I think everybody knows somebody with a disease and feels, in some cases, that trumps or they just don't see the moral issue the same way the president does and some leaders in the Congress do. And so they feel comfortable, even though they consider themselves to be pro-life, to feel that they can support the use of these embryos, which would be discarded. It's a tough decision.
Joe Palca, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Joe Palca, NPR correspondent, joined us here in Studio 3. Again, there is going to be more on this on Science Friday. Ira will be talking with Leon Cass, the chairman of the President's Commission on Bioethics. They've just issued a white paper on exactly these issues, so tune in for that on Science Friday. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.